Yes, that's right.
Me ring three and a one. Coal. I would like to rent ring three and a coal, please.
I have a nickel.
Greetings, Apropos, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast with your hosts, James
and Jenna, and very special guest.
Hi, my name is Cole.
Cole. Oh my god, the leg is gonna be amazing.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be spectacular. Oh.
Fuck yes.
But spectacular, like in the way that someone used to remind me, awesome doesn't always mean good. It's gonna be like that.
Yeah.
Definition three in the dictionary.
Yeah, of spectacular, yes.
So we are missing a salsa. May he rest in peace.
Missing is a strong word.
Oh. Yeah, we are devoid of a salsa, this particular recording. So we are recording online, in part because that's the socially responsible thing for us to be doing right now. Mm-hmm. And in part because nobody else wants to be in a room with Cole. So...
Jesus.
Cole makes me mean, you guys. This is Cole's fault.
Yes, it's Cole that's doing that.
B, probably deserve it.
No, we do have Cole joined us very last minute today, so I'm very happy and very excited to have him on. So that hopefully when I start talking shit about him, he'll flip it back. Because otherwise, I just look like the asshole.
Yeah,
and I don't want to be. I don't want to be.
He's
Craig.
Not here for it.
Exactly.
I am normally at work listening to the podcast and yelling at you guys. So,
Objection, Your Honor. I don't think Cole is normally anything. I don't think Cole is normal.
He's definitely not normal.
Yeah.
But like objection Cole, sustained. Cole is very susceptible to the observer effect. he doesn't exist until you observe him.
You can't tell his position and velocity because observing him causes him to change one.
To change. Yeah.
Schrodinger's Cole.
Cole, I'm really excited to see you pass the double slit experiment.
Oh my god.
Who the hell put me in this box with this radioactive isotope?
I love that we're merging things now. Some poor physicist out there is having a nervous breakdown now and has no idea why.
Not even a physicist. Stefan is having a breakdown right now.
Well,
Stefan, poor senpai.
I'm sorry, Stefan. Yeah. Aw, I like him. He's like one of the three people that I like.
Right.
Why are we doing this to Stefan, you guys? Speaking of which, I've already started drinking.
What are you drinking, Jenna?
Currently, I am drinking a hot toddy. Mostly because I felt like it. Like, my throat's a little but it's not super bad at all.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what sounds good despite the heat and the grossness? A hot toddy. Yeah. So I'm having a ginger lemon tea with Fireball and a fuck ton of honey from Troy to Troy. I accidentally honeyed more than I needed to honey. So basically I'm drinking honey with a little bit of tea and some Fireball. So,
you know, I think when we get to the break and I go to refresh my beverage, I'm probably going to make a hot toddy as well. I'm going to use that the honey whiskey that I brought.
Honeycomb thing.
I need to buy honey from Troy.
Troy.
Yeah. What I am drinking is a Left Hand Brewing Company peanut butter milk stout nitro. So it's like five things Jenna doesn't want.
I was about to say, I don't dislike left-handers in general. I want to be clear on that one. Just specifically. Right. When we're fencing. Yeah, Cole?
Also a lefty, although I fence.
Yeah, but also we barely fence, which is sad. We should remedy that at some point. But
agreed. You got it. Let's go right now.
After my back is feeling better. Yeah. Yeah, I did something to my back and it's not happy. Cole, are you drinking anything?
I am. In fact, I've saved it just for you.
Aw.
It's pineapple.
Oh my God. Why would you ruin perfectly good vodka with pineapple?
No. I'm sorry. This is indicated that these are long O's. This is cocoa vodka pineapple.
Okay, well.
Well, at least it's not options. Vodka. It's either caca vodka or it's cocoa vodka.
That's right. So it is a triple distilled vodka, real coconut water, pineapple juice.
Fuck.
Natural flavors and carbonation.
Yeah.
5%
alcohol. Well, I can't have that twice over.
Yeah, no, I'm aware. Check, could you check your list of ingredients to see if there's a stamp like there is on mine that says no Jenna's allowed?
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I can't have either of your drinks.
Is that the little diamond with the J in it? Mm-hmm. And the cross? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's on
you. Yeah, yeah.
Yep, no Jenna's.
So
The cross looks like a Jesus cross, though. So it's like a kite with a J on it is really what it is.
Nice. Does it have the little tail with the bows? It smells
only
like
when I'm feeling extra femme. What? It smells like a pina colada. Okay.
I might need to know where you got that.
Tastes like a pina colada.
If you like pina colada,
vodka and all natural stuff. The problem is, I want to be able to like seltzers, but they're all made with crap that I can't drink. So instead, I bought crap that Jenna can't drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, this checks out.
Yeah. I don't like seltzer anyway.
I also just don't like seltzer as much. It depends. Sometimes I go through like basic bitch mode and seltzer is fine. But
nope. Yeah.
I was going to say the craft cocktails in a can by Cutwater are not seltzery.
Well, and we discovered that the Bud Light holiday seltzers weren't bad.
No, they really weren't.
Yeah.
And drink them.
Yeah.
Whatever enzyme or yeast I'm allergic to is used by Budweiser, so anything they make I can't have. Surly also. So I can drink. We'll just end that statement there.
Guinness, I was about to say, but are you...
But Guinness,
were you going to try to qualify that one?
No. So I can drink Guinness until I'm sick for real, right? Mm-hmm. Like I earned that sick. Or I can have half of a Budweiser and spend the entire next day vomiting.
I'm going to recommend don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I've done.
Especially if you're needed at Fest the next day, this fucking weekend. Jesus Christ, we missed you, buddy.
That's what I've heard.
Oh, yeah. That is, you're not going to hear me say it often, but fuck. Oh, fuck this weekend.
It's one of those, just throw Cole in ring one, it'll be okay kind of things. Sounds like a boast until it's that kind of weekend.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, no, yeah, Cole just paces himself out to 10 hours, and he doesn't do a great show, but he does a 10-hour show.
Right.
It's,
Between the lack of people that we had.
And a tumbleweed, yeah.
And between the lack of people and the fucking humidity. Oh my God.
I was out there Saturday. It was just not nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sunday started off okay, and then it built back into Saturday. And I was like, no, I thought we stopped with Saturday. Why are you bringing it back? Stop being nostalgic.
Yeah, I was hoping the rain would cut it, and it did not. That was, I think, the hottest and stickiest that I've ever felt working Fest, including doing afternoon burn in ring one before the rain grew in.
There was one weekend way back where we ended up back when the parking lot was still out behind the fencing booth and horse gate.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
And the Jousters camp was out there.
The sand lot.
We went out there. We went, Lemur Hill is what it got affectionately termed. And that was Lemur Hill Road that went right to safety services. And you could order pizza from Domino's and tell them you lived on Lemur Hill Road and they knew where to bring it.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. But we had gone out and it was a Labor Day weekend and it was just, it was one of those super hot, sweaty days. Mm. And we ended up possibly violating some kind of codes and possibly just stripping down naked and just hosing each other off because it was so bad.
I mean, I clean the showers every day. And I was like, I could take a shower. That's not actually going to help me right now, though. But I did hose down a bit after I cleaned the showers. I was like, hose down the showers, hose down me. All right.
Yeah. There is a level of heat where you no longer care.
It didn't matter. And I was so ripe when I got home. Holy fuck. I offended myself. And that takes some doing.
Mm-hmm. Fuck.
Yeah.
No, everybody that I knew got like chafing. Just like no matter what you did, you deodorant between the thighs.
Gold bond. That's why the gold bond.
You could use anything you like.
Yeah, and it was.
Most people I know ended up with some kind of heat rash or some kind of burn.
I did not. Mm. I still swear by the dry shampoo.
Ooh, that's right. Yeah,
because it's a super thin layer, so it doesn't clump as much.
And in the middle of the day.
This is disgusting. But yeah, no, I was fine between that. And like, there are days I'm like, why do I insist on wearing tights? I don't need tights. Like legging style tights. And then like after this weekend, I was like, oh yeah. That's what I wear. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Because yeah, those new tights fit the contours of my area really well, to prevent
your lemur hill. So.
Yes. Yeah. Baby, so I've got a lemur mountain.
So that
I'm
happened.
Not sure how I feel about that.
I'm not sure how I feel about
I'm
it
sure
either.
How
but
I feel
here
about
it, is.
It but
I will say I was wondering what happened to the petting zoo.
Fuck.
You told me to throw it back.
I did.
There.
Yeah. I sure the fuck did.
Yeah.
This is why
made.
I'm no longer the asshole. Thank you, Cole. I'm sorry. Thank you, Cole.
Cole. So, apart from all of that, I got the RV hooked up to shore power, and the air conditioner will run for a good long time, and then occasionally it will just rock the breaker. It'll just flip the breaker that everything's connected to. I went out there with 100 feet of light duty extension cord. Nope. Takes 200 feet. And just for safety's sake, I swapped up to the medium/heavy stuff. Just because of the amperage of the air conditioner, and you know, it's gonna be more than one light. It's not a string of Christmas lights or anything like that.
Yeah. So
just making sure that
as a reminder, like my assistant campground director thing is popping onto my head right now. And it's like, we only get so much power, and we ask that you monitor and be careful as to how much power you're using at any given point in time. Mm-hmm. If you can unplug something before starting something else up, we recommend that. We did have the electricity over the weekend went out like 4 times. That I'm aware of. And it's just
like
everybody kept
official.
Running things.
Super official. What podcast am I on today?
I
Jenna's podcast.
Yes, it's my podcast.
There are spreadsheets. So, yeah. Yeah, I would just, you know, calmly put my boots on, go over to the breaker box, flip it back, go back in. And for the most part, the air conditioning in the RV stayed on. And I did not know how important that would be to my life and well-being until this weekend. Jesus Christ.
If you've ever wondered why we don't connect the bottom of the tent to the wood.
Yeah.
It's so that there's a draft in there.
Yeah. No, I remember.
Does it let the critters skitter through?
Sure
yes.
It does.
Yeah.
Nope. But it also lets the air in.
Mm-hmm. That's why I have, because I have that giant fuck off tarp structure. Mm-hmm. But then I can just leave the windows open in my tent.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of whatever weather is happening outside. Super important. Oh, my God.
Very important.
So. Yeah. So, I don't know. My weekend, I didn't have any, like, super standout stories. There were a couple of, like, because I ended up working Cashbox.
Mm-hmm.
And worked a lot. I worked, seriously, from when I got in on Friday when office hours started at 6, mm-hmm. I had like a couple of hours that I didn't work, and then I was back to working. Then I woke up and I was working, and I was just working all through the day. I had 2 hours where I wasn't technically working, but a friend needed help, so I was doing that, and then I was back to working. Oh my God, it was basically just like sleep or work. That's all I did.
Shit.
Yeah, up until midday Sunday.
Yeah, I
it fucking sucked. I don't like it.
I get that.
So I mean, I
took a page
did
out of your book and took my Monday mornings off. That is this is the correct thing.
I'm fucking brilliant, man. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, this year I'm taking full Mondays off so that I actually get to see my boyfriend for more than 3 hours a week. I did. So the couple of hours that I ended up that I wasn't working, but I was still helping. Oh, God. I don't know if they want things stated for like names or whatnot, but a friend of mine had, she was taking her kids home. She's like, we're getting out of all of this, whatever. And, couldn't find her car keys.
Oh no.
And was looking for about an hour. So I was distracted, distracting the kids, talked to them about how are we going to blow things up in the campground. And one of the kids was on board. And the other kid was like, no, you can't blow things up in the campground. Yeah. And I was like, we totally weren't talking about blowing things up in the campground. Wink. And like, just playing the game hard.
It's cool. You don't have to say wink. You can just wink.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
that's,
sorry.
That's what she did.
Wink.
God damn it.
But yeah, so we did that for a while. And then after about an hour of looking, my poor friend looked at me and was like, I can't find them anywhere. Jenna, were there any keys that got turned into the campground office? And I was like, no, wait. Oh shit. There were last night. Jacques found them. And, she started to describe these very distinctive keys. And I was like, yep. That's where your keys are at. So she's like, aww. Do you have access? And I was like, I do not. You're going to have to wait for Jacques to be done with drum jam, which he just started like 2 minutes ago because we can hear the drums. So sorry, friend. So yeah, I ended up distracting the kids for a little bit more.
That's slightly better than, yes, I've had access this entire time.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, it's like, different from
Yeah. I mean, I felt bad I didn't think about it sooner, and she felt bad she didn't think about it sooner. I'm like, nobody should be feeling bad, but we both do because we're Minnesotans. But it was then one of those, well, now she can't go until office hours open, because that's when we can access the keys. So now I'm distracting the kids for another hour, hour and a half, up until I work again. So it was like one of those, oh, fuck. But yeah, I did. That was just a goddamn situation that I would like to think I went above and beyond as campground director or assistant campground director.
Indeed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think a case can certainly be made for that.
Yes. It was mostly for a friend, not like, but I was still, you know, helping out. I did have, as I was working the cash box, somebody started trying to tell their girlfriend about the rapiers people were using. And I may have launched into a very well, actually, here's the history of the sword. to which the guy looked like a little embarrassed. Like he kept getting like a little bit touchy about it. And I'm like, well, no, because this, this, and this. And I was like, and as metallurgy became better, they were able to make things lighter, smaller, but stronger. And that's when you would start to get more length, depending on what style of fighting was being taken into account at the time. And he's just like, and I finished like this 5 to 10 minute long thing on the history of the sword. And I was like, so, do you want to know about the different fencing styles? And the guy was like, I got to go. I'm like, okay.
I can spend another hour on this.
Yeah. I'm like, I will keep educating all day long, but do not come by me and start talking about our swords like you know what they are. If you're going to mislabel them right off the bat. I got
also,
news for you, friend.
Also, next year's Fringe show, The Batleth and its place in history.
I mean, I do have an hour-long rant on the Batleth, so...
And you do have a Batleth.
I do.
Yeah.
Some asshole gave it to me.
Sounds
what
like
a jerk.
Kind of thing that happens.
Yeah. Seriously, what the hell? Yeah. I think that was really kind of my weekend, was a lot of working. Mm-hmm. And I went out for sushi with Joe this afternoon. Because nice. He's the best boyfriend and takes care of me. And we finished watching Sandman. I have to go unearth all of my old Sandman graphic novels. Fucking loved it. I fucking loved it.
Right.
I do not want to spoil a goddamn thing, but like for the things that are out there on the internet, anybody that's bitching about casting is an asshat.
Yeah.
The casting was fucking perfect for this. It was just, oh God. And it is very, very true to the graphic novel series.
Yeah.
Like you can see shot for shot, like different things where I'm like, I actually remember this scene, even though I've never seen it before. Like visually, I'm like, this is that picture right there.
Mm-hmm.
They did do it on a Netflix budget. So there are some like, graphic stuff that could have been a little sharper, a little better, a little cleaner, whatever. And as Joe said, it has kind of a very BBC vibe. And I'm like, well, I mean, it's Neil Gaiman. So he's going to write what he knows. And that's going to transfer on down the line appropriately.
Well, and that was also true of Good Omens. And also Miss Marvel. If you've watched Miss Marvel, it's really good, but at some point, producing a weekly show, not on a movie budget, there's really only so much you can put into every minute.
But I loved the BBC vibe. It was delightful. They did make some changes to the story. Not big ones. or at least not like not anything that detracted from anything else. There were some characters that got more time. They kind of shifted where things happened as far as the storytelling aspects. So like instead of like just doing one book, then the next one, then the next, like sometimes there was a little bit more like interspersing later stories yeah. into the current one kind of stuff where it made sense, but it all made perfect sense.
There is one thing missing that I so far, and maybe it comes up later. But, and this is not spoiling anything for anybody who's read the comics or who's watching the TV show. Either way, but one of my favorite moments in the comics, there are many, but one of them was the Ren Fair.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they have that in the TV show. And if they do, I'll be super happy, but I don't think that they will.
No. Well, I mean, it's such a non-essential aspect. It's wonderful. It I love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's in a storyline where things are already out of place.
Yeah.
Like adding anything that makes things more out of, or keeping anything that makes it more out of place right. when it isn't a part of a, yeah.
It would require a book level explanation for why something happened that way instead of a different way.
Right.
And so I think it seemed like they just, I just finished watching episode 6 and it seems like they tidied it up a little more geographically.
They did tidy it up geographically. Yeah. And some of that is probably budget, frankly. There's only so much.
Possible.
Do.
One of the things that I liked about that Renfest sequence, completely aside from absolutely understanding the sentiment, was that in that book, it referenced heavily the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Well, yeah, because Neil Gaiman actually used to come out for Minnesota all the time.
Yeah.
Back in the early 80s. Oof. Yep. Yeah, I know. I'm looking at you, but I'm also looking at myself, Cole. I'm still younger and prettier though. So, well, maybe not prettier, but I am younger, so I got that going for me.
Did she just accidentally call me good looking?
I did not call you good looking.
Oh,
I said you're prettier than me.
Not on accident.
That doesn't necessitate any kind of level of good looking.
So there's that.
You don't get to smack yourself.
So this is a backhand. This is the backhand. Cole, do you see the back of my hand? It's right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right there. And backhand.
I know that as well as the front of my hand. Oh, that's new.
visual jokes.
Yeah.
We've
been enjoying it.
Oh yeah. No, it's fantastic and it remains fantastic throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Plus there's a bonus episode that came out. It's got a couple of stories into it and you don't need to know anything for those, but it's great.
Yeah,
I absolutely love what they did with it, so.
Yeah, I was watching episode 6 today and just crying.
Episode 6 is that Wings?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Yep.
Oh my god. A very long time ago, somebody told me that I was deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no context. And I was like, that's rude. And they're like, no, you don't understand. You need to read. And which is what got me into Sandman in the first place.
Oh.
So I don't actually think that I am as awesome as that particular character, but, I like having that, I thought that was a nice compliment and I have cosplayed death before. So yeah, it's kind of a thing. Is Craig still going?
Other than that, I heard a good ding.
That was my door locking.
Oh, okay. All right.
Other than that, what have you been doing, watching, reading?
It's been pretty much Sandman. I've been in the middle of so many things for... I have a show coming up this Thursday.
Jesus.
Yeah. That's the Grand Slam, the Story Slam Grand Slam.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, you should go because I'm really fucking nervous. I'm going to be competing against people who've been doing this for fucking decades. And it's like, I have done literally a Story Slam. I was supposed to be doing others and then things happened. Like there was, you know, COVID possibility. There was this, that, and that. No. So like I was only able to make it to what, so this will be my second actual Story Slam in competition with people who've been doing Story Slams for years. And I am so nervous. I mean, it's an honor just to be nominated, but still I'm like,
humbug, just walk in, kick its ass.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I've seen these storytellers and I won't feel bad losing to any of them.
Well, there's that too. Yeah.
Well, you feel bad kicking their asses, though.
Oh, absolutely not.
Good.
I'd be amazed, but I wouldn't feel bad about it. Be like, what the shit?
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Tune in next time.
For my part, the big excitement this weekend, other than that it just being like
awful
dragon scrotum hot out there, was that I, instead of going to the Blit on Friday night, one of the nights, Jax and I went to a public house nearby. O'Brien's public house.
I was there on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yes. Wow. Friday.
Okay, Friday. All right.
Yeah.
There was even a Jeep in the parking lot, and we thought for a moment, and I was like, no, this Jeep looks like it's duded out. This is not Kohl's. Kohl's is nicer than this. It doesn't have the angry eyebrow headlights.
No.
And it's, yeah, he's got better taste than this. This thing looks like it's probably got truck nuts. I went in there with Jax and we ended up having an absolutely amazing meal.
Really?
Yeah. Cause we had been looking for a place that would have steak or something like that. And, very few places would be open at that time of night. Even though it was only like 8:30 on a Saturday, we were looking for places that we could get to and sit down and have an hour long meal.
Right.
From Shakopee. And most places that we could drive were 20 to 30 minutes away. So we spotted this place. It was real close. It was just like 12 minutes away. And the food was fucking amazing.
Yeah, they do a real good job there.
And the drinks were reasonably spectacular. And like everything was well appointed. We had lobster mac and cheese and the beef tips.
Nice.
The little steak points.
That sounds amazing.
Fucking delicious. Yeah. So
they do a Friday night fish and chips too, all you can eat fish.
Yes.
Yeah.
So went there, enjoyed that. And then by the time we got back, site hours were done and everything like that. So just tucked in and had a great night. Sunday, something happened to me that has never happened to me at Fest. I split my pants open. I hopped up on a bale.
I have so many jokes going through my head
as
right
one
now.
May.
Luckily, it was giant and public.
And I hopped up on a bale. Yep, and I was talking to people, and then the next two had just finished getting masked and ballooned, and so they were coming into the ring, and so I hopped down, and I did my usual dismount, you know, one leg at a time. And because of how ungodly hot and sticky it was. Mm-hmm. Instead of sliding over my knee, the fabric just stuck to my skin. And I just heard, and I was like, okay, so there's a tiny rip in my pants somewhere, crotch area in general. All right. And I spent the next few bouts getting kind of a nice air conditioning, a nice breeze. Luckily, I was wearing underwear that were roughly the same color, and
that so was going to be my question. Were you wearing Were you wearing the boxers with the pretty pink hearts?
It was, well, I actually do have boxers with pretty pink hearts, and I had been wearing them the day before.
Oh,
hilariously, those were my Saturdays. So
we've been hanging out too much, James. I know you too well.
It could have been funnier, which is my eternal disappointment. It could have been funnier.
I know, because I had them for Sunday. So.
Right. Yeah.
Ew. Ew.
When Cole's done with them, I flip them inside out and get another use out of them.
No.
I asked Josh if he would swap out real quick, and I was like, yeah, ripped open my pants, you know, told the boss lady, I'm headed upstairs, I'm going to sell my pants. And I'm expecting, you know,
An inch.
I was expecting maybe even a tear that was, 4 to 5 inches in length. And it was the whole crotch.
The whole crotch.
Yeah. It was probably 9 or 10 inches of seam just ripped straight out. Rump. Yeah. So spent a little bit of time hand stitching that back together. But I was like, yeah, well, that explains the breeze. That's.
But did it help cool you down at all, James?
I'm glad I didn't squat down at any point. Yeah.
Did it help cool you off?
It did. Yeah. I
it really okay. does.
Man, this is why I really used to wear a kilt out here.
It really so does relaxed. Follow the. It follows the ring ethos of if you can act, overact.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't make it better. Make it more. And Jenna reported to me a pretty fun conversation.
Oh, there is that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a patron that was basically critiquing the fencing booth. Much like a director might. Not necessarily negative. It was like she was watching the ringmasters.
Mm-hmm.
It was this was Saturday. She was watching Josh and James were going back and forth a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I like the energy behind that one, but I really like how laid back the tall one is and the pacing and everything. It's really good. The other guy's going, he's sometimes a little hard to understand. And like, just absolutely like giving a review of the ringmasters of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival fencing booth. Like, I'm waiting for the YouTube video to drop.
But like and, a real live, like constructive review.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I'm all about it. Hell yeah.
Yeah. No, it was, I was like, fuck yeah. And she was like standing like maybe 3 feet behind me. And I'm just like, all right. Like along the side fence. And I'm just like, this is interesting. I've thought about turning to her and being like, hey, what are you saying about my ringmasters? And then I was like, I don't want to interrupt this.
Yeah.
No, I don't want her to stop. If I let this happen,
I can hear her say all kinds of things.
Yeah. And then she just kept going and like, she was talking to the person next to her who I don't think, like, I got the feeling this person was a director of some sort, right?
Hmm.
Like, she was seriously just, like, giving it a review. Like, and so she was, God, my brain sucks, talking to this person, and they were like, so who's your favorite? And she was like, I think I like the tall one better. And so I relayed this story to James and Josh the next day because, of course, I fucking did.
Oh, yeah. You have to.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, what was it? So yeah, I basically told them, I'm like, yeah, there was somebody that was critiquing and, this lady said that she liked the tall one better. And James.
And I look at him and I go, well, you know what that means, Josh, time to get taller. Just,
yep.
That's how
fucking deadpan.
Oh, yeah. Obviously. No, yep. It's really cool because it's we do an unusual show.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of shows like this. Mm-hmm. And that I as a filmmaker and as an actor and as a I guess a craftsperson, the artist versus craftsperson debate for me. I don't feel that it is my job to, I guess, critique my own work. Mm-hmm. That's the audience's responsibility. Mm-hmm. And you hardly ever...
She fucking took that.
But you hardly ever get that feedback.
Yeah.
You know, it's either they stay or they leave. For me, that's kind of a binary feedback system. And if you can get them to stay longer, you're doing well. It's really neat to be able to hear actual feedback.
Yeah. Here's the part. There was one comment she made that, like, I just kind of chuckled to myself. I had a response to. She was like, I really like his jokes.
Mm.
Referencing James. And I just went, oh, God.
That must have been really hard to sit through. I'm so
that
sorry.
That hurt. That hurt me just a little bit. I'm not going to lie, James. I'm not going to lie.
I rescind everything I said.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, never mind. You can write that one off. Yep. No. Nope. Yeah. This is clearly a person with no taste. Yep.
God.
Look, no. You know it. I know it.
Yeah. Just, I've, nope. That one got me just a little bit in there. So.
But yeah, all of that, it felt like a good weekend for the crowd that was there. There was not a lot of crowd there, not a lot of patrons. They're not contractually obligated to stay, and they don't.
No, trying to convince people that what they wanted to do with their hot, sweltering day was put on 5 pounds of gear and expend any form of energy whatsoever was fucking pulling teeth.
Yeah.
Oh.
I saw one person had sweated through the coat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's an effort.
And that was before he got in the ring.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was.
That's special.
God awful.
A lot. It was. Yeah. It was a lot. Yeah. Jesus.
Yikes.
Yeah. This was also my first. My first weekend ever of Solo Street.
Yeah. How was that for you?
It was really scary at first, but honestly, just the practiced, tried and true shtick that Kyle and I have whipped up, I was able to fall back into that. It's just a very regular pattern and mm-hmm. mode of being. But it's a lot more fun with Kyle there.
Sure.
And honestly, I feel like we are way better as a team. Being able to just ricochet stuff back and forth. It hits harder, it hits faster. And I think people are genuinely nicer to us when there's two of us.
Do you think that's like because like somebody's got your back? Do you think it's Kyle's ridiculous ass fucking grin?
Do you think it may have something to do with it? I think it also it's less of one person being weird and more like, oh, there's a farm of them around here and we should pity them. you know,
just that's fair.
Something like that. But it's there's.
I think
it reminded me a lot of high school in that you always feel weird and, you know, going back to the Doors song, people are strange when you're a stranger. Mm-hmm. But when you find your clique, you know, when you join the anime right. club, when you get into the after school theater program and, you know, whatever it is, suddenly people are like, oh, yeah, you're a weirdo, but you have a place. You fit in.
Sure.
You're weird. Like, I think,
yeah.
So, because I used to do fish jokes, like just street jokes about yeah. fish with Nettie. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I would do is I made myself a bit more ridiculous when I was telling the jokes. Mm-hmm. And then I would like, I did this afterwards kind of a thing. As in I just hit you with my horrible stuff. What are you going to do about it? As mm-hmm. opposed to, I think this is hilarious, which is what you and Kyle do. Because you do. This is, yeah. I told jokes out of spite and you told them for comedy. But I think that was a thing that I ended up developing because, as you said, like doing solo street telling stupid ass street jokes, there's kind of this weird vibe about, oh, you think you're funny. Mm. And if you have somebody else there to do it with, then yeah, I do, because that asshole's laughing. Like, I've got this guy laughing at it.
I think the other person becomes for whoever's not telling the joke at the time, they become the kind of vessel for the audience to figure out how to react.
Yeah, it's like shit, having your own plant.
And so you're performing to the audience, but you're really performing to the other person so that they can react to you. Hmm. And since they're on your team, it's like having an audience plant. I mean,
Kyle leave in the middle of a joke, and that caused the audience to break. First weekend, our biggest fan dragged a bunch of people over to talk to us and to listen to a long joke. And Kyle was like, I'm going to go get a bench. Hang on. I'm not going to stand up through this whole thing.
Oh, my God.
They started losing it immediately. I think, I think you're both correct. Yeah. But yeah. that was this weekend. I miss being out there with Kyle. I don't know that I would ever want to do this full time by myself. So.
No, that makes sense. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
Should we maybe take a break?
Yeah, I could use it.
And then we could let Cole talk for a bit, like he's our guest or something.
Yeah.
Like we invited him on here to talk.
Hello?
Shh.
You're muted.
Go back to sleep, old man.
Wait, Jenna, stop moving. His vision is motion based.
Oh, shit, your picture froze.
Oh, God damn it.
All right, let's take a break.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Welcome back. I'm James.
And we're back. God.
I knew even if I didn't get it right, someone would. I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Cole.
Cole, 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 Cole. God damn it. The fact that you are like almost a full second behind me when we do that. I'm just like,
That seems right. I mean, and that's just in person. Like,
oh, it drives me insane when you do that.
Justified.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, hey, Cole.
Hi.
Hi. Tell us why you're here. Tell us who you are. Tell us about yourself. Justify your existence.
Yeah.
That's more than I agreed to.
But less than you deserve.
You did not stipulate I couldn't ask you
that. No, that's also true. That's also very true. It was more of a, oh God, no salsa. Hey, Cole. I was like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, that was basically it.
Yeah. Correct.
What do you think Salsa does on this podcast?
He plays foil to you.
Oh. As opposed to James, who plays Saber to me. Benson jokes.
James joke, Jenna. Gross.
I know.
I don't know.
I've been hanging out with you too much. No, come on. No, say something. Say anything.
So, you know, this time of year, there's this thing going on. I don't know if you talked about it on your podcast yet.
Is it Klingon?
It's kind of this themed event where they get like crafters and some musicians and some actors, and you know, they put them all in a big sweaty area and theme it somewhere between medieval and Elizabethan.
But also Star Trek and Doctor Who.
No, but also some Star Trek and way more Doctor Who than one would expect.
Right? Those crazy time travelers, I know.
It's insane. Holy anachronism, Batman. So, yeah. I'm doing that too. Those who listen to the podcast may or may not know that I work also at the Renaissance Festival.
May have talked about it once or twice.
Oh, I didn't introduce you appropriately. People of the Apropos of Nothing podcast, I would like to introduce to you Cole, last year's winner of the Everybody's a Ham Award. And older than the festival itself.
Continue. Not quite. But this is my 33rd year? I have the 32nd year. I don't know.
It's my 30th under contract, and I started when I was 12. So
I started in 89 and missed a year because COVID. So, you know.
But that's the year we all missed because of COVID.
Yeah, right. So I don't think it counts.
It was just a time skip.
No, it doesn't count unless you were a part of the little drive-through doodad that they did.
Somebody danced between episodes.
Yeah, somebody danced too close to the record player at the party.
Yep.
So anyway.
Yeah, this last weekend I wasn't working, as was I think slightly mentioned previously, because it was my anniversary weekend with my lovely wife, Sharon. Yeah.
Somebody married you?
Yeah. Really? Oh. You're going to go there? No, you're right. But
yeah. Yeah, but you didn't have to say it out loud. That's just mean.
Put up with me for 24 some odd years. It's,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I don't get it either.
Yeah. It's because your name is Cole.
That's
probably true.
We actually got married out at the Renaissance Festival.
Oh.
Way back in history. And it was lovely and was one of the other times that the fencing booth was very lightly staffed. But that was just for about 2 hours, not a whole day. That was somebody else's wedding that it was really bad.
You could have gotten married at the fencing booth in Ring One.
Right. Sure.
And I could have been working while doing it, and it would have been fine. It would have been fine.
Yeah.
Sharon. Halt.
It would have been.
Does anybody have any reason why these two should not be joined? Yeah, no, that part would have been good 45 minutes.
They tastefully left it out.
Around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't ask that question because
skip that part.
My friends,
do you want photo evidence or is audio evidence enough?
We'll make something up. there was this time when I was out hunting badgers with Cole.
And an ox bear out of nowhere.
That was funny. We had a kid in line, a little kid. Did we tell this last time I was on?
Maybe.
We talk about the actual ox bear? Okay. I think we might have. Okay. It's been
a bit. You could do it again because I don't remember anything from podcast to podcast.
So it was back when we had a bunch of new people work in the dressing line. Mm-hmm. And we had enough people working the front that they could work the front and be ringmasters and champions and things. And so they wanted people on the dressing line who could show the new people on the dressing line how to interact and make it more of a show.
Sure.
So they put James and I, Fafa and I, on the dressing line together.
Oh, those
poor patrons. Oh, my.
So, this guy comes through and we're putting stuff on him and his arm is in a sling and, we're working and we're like, oh, what happened? But it better be a good story.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, it just,
oh yeah, no,
it was just like, oh, I fell off my bike.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's. That's not a story, dude. That's what happened. Yeah,
were there any sweet jumps involved? Did you? Right.
So we start riffing.
Oh, God.
I already have concerns. Continue.
They're valid.
It ends up that what had happened was this guy was skiing in the Alps.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a an orphanage that had started on fire, and he rescued all of the orphans, carried them while fighting off a bear, skiing down
an ox bear.
Ox bear. We couldn't decide if it was an ox or a bear.
Right.
So it became an ox bear.
Okay.
And I think we both said one at the same time. I said ox, you said bear, or something like that.
It was an ox bear. We're both right. Yeah.
Ox bear. Yeah. We're both right.
Yes, and motherfuckers.
Yes, and. And it was skiing, and there was a fight with the ox bear, and
right.
Fire, and then avalanche, right. And they were outrunning the avalanche, and finally got to the bottom, the ski chalet at the bottom, turned over the kids to all their parents, blah, 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 and everything was good with the world.
So, I thought it was an orphanage.
Hold on.
Okay.
Because it was on the fly, this line only interacts with the previous line, and none of the rest of the story is relevant to anything.
Right.
Okay.
We had both completely forgotten where we had started.
Right.
All right.
So it's Sunday. It was a Sunday. I know because I went to McDonald's, and I always go to McDonald's on the way home to eat. And I got my meal. And I ordered and I was waiting for it to show up. And I texted Fafa and I went, that dude in line was a frickin' liar.
Oh, yeah.
And he went, why? Orphans don't have parents.
Yes.
And there was a long pause. Apparently what had happened, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you were laughing too hard to text back.
Yes, I was going to say. There's no way I could respond quickly.
So, yeah, I broke him over text. I was pretty happy about that.
Nice.
So, something like that happened to me at Fest on Saturday.
Mm. Okay.
At our wedding, it had been arranged by all of the people. Normally arrange the weddings out there, but we had it at the pavilion. We got the Hammer Dulcimer dude, Mark Pylon.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome. He played the thing. We saw him on Saturday and out playing Dulcimer, bought his CD, and we looked at him and we went, oh yeah, thanks so much. You played our wedding. He's like, oh yeah, 24 years ago. And we went, what? Those are the appropriate faces for that statement, which is what he had, but he followed it up with. So, prior to this, we normally go to the Feast of Fantasy every year.
Right.
It's COVID. Packing like sardines into that room is probably not sanitary.
Sure.
To begin with.
We did the whatever. I have spit a full mug of water on you.
Oh.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. So,
and it was cooling, and you would have loved it on Saturday or Sunday.
God, I would have.
But we went to the wine romance couples thing instead this year, which was outside in the like hedge maze that was a hedge maze, but nobody ever used it, but now it's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they put seating out there, and there was a Hammer Dulcimer player, which is what inspired us to go seek out Mark. And we're like, yeah, Dulcimer, lovely. We love it. Had it played at our wedding. Mark, oh yeah, he's still around here somewhere. She had gone and told him that she had talked to us and told him that 24 years ago he had played for us. So when we walked up to him, we didn't know they had spoken. So when he fired off that 24 years, we were in awe.
Right.
Of his memory. And he went, no, I talked to the other person. We're like, oh, God damn it. Thanks. That was good. If you had not said that, we would have just believed you.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
It was delivered so well.
That's why you never correct yourself on stage.
Oh, man.
Mm. Nobody knows you fucked up until you say something.
It was such an amazing moment. The wine romance thing was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It is not as frenetic and guided as the Feast of Fantasy.
Sure.
You get to sit there with your significant other, or a friend, or whomever. Probably not a stranger. I don't know if it works that way. You could pick someone random off the street and go, you, come, we're eating. You get a bottle of a wine and a charcuterie plate of cheeses and fruits and whatnot with a cheesecake in the middle.
Aww.
And it was so lovely. Good. We just sat there and listened to the Dulcimer play, watched Fest happen around us. It was real nice.
Hmm.
That's delightful.
If you're looking for something more mellow.
Relaxed. Yeah.
Relaxing. Hmm. It's a really, really nice thing.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It sounds so good.
So that was super fun. And then we went swung by the fencing booth a couple of times.
and laughed at us.
Just suckers. Felt real bad. Felt real bad for you.
I get that. You shouldn't.
I know, I get it. I know the heat you were going through because I was feeling it and I've done the job.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm really happy I'm not in the ring today. This is going to suck for them.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, well, it was nice seeing you anyway.
Yeah, 37 years. I've definitely spent my time in there in inclement weather.
In the afternoon burn? Jesus Christ.
Yep. I love ring one. It's got the spotlight.
Yeah, it's called the sun. Jesus.
I feel like Cole is being more optimistic about this than you are, Jim.
No, just more selfish.
Oh, all right.
Probably to the point of self-detriment.
That seems
us? Self-detrimental.
What?
What?
So long as somebody eventually puts some electrolytes in me and some food and I keep getting water, I will just stand there and yell all day long.
Mm.
Yeah.
It has been proven many times.
Mm-hmm.
I believe all of this to be accurate. Yes.
It's so fun. I don't know how much longer my body can do it.
So you talked about fencing. What else do you do, Cole?
Oh God. I'm a geek, as many, many people at the Renaissance Festival are.
Weird, but I'll go with it.
Yeah. Bizarre.
I was a little put off earlier because you were talking about a comic I haven't read.
Oh.
What?
I'm aware of it and have been aware of it for many years, but it was never something that ended up on my desk, and I just don't read anymore.
That's fair. Well, I mean, you don't really read The Sandman. You experience The Sandman.
Oh, God.
But... it's also, like, isn't it 10 or 12 books?
Yeah, there's a lot.
In the collection. And so I think getting a full collection of it, unless it's been, you know, repackaged for the for the release of the show or
which
something
I
like
might,
that.
I might get that because I lost my
like
collection in one of the...
$200 to get them used.
Yeah. But I will say Joe had never watched The Sand or read The Sandman stuff before, and he watched it with me and he enjoyed it immensely.
I intend to watch it. I just finished up. I got caught up on Resident Alien.
Okay.
Which, if you haven't seen, oh my God, Alan Tudyk is a delight.
No, I've seen the first season.
Yep, second season is just as good.
Okay.
It's cool. Wonderful. And
I'll put that one on my list. But yeah, the first season,
all in.
I described it as, hey, Alan Tudyk, we would like you to come play Alec Tudyk, but could you be more Alan Tudyk?
Yes,
That's exactly what that show is. Those are your expectations. They will be met.
Oh, my God. He goes to those places that are socially inappropriate in such a brilliant way.
Mm. He's just so unhateable in the face. Like,
I know.
Yeah. He can get away with so much.
I got all caught up on Only Murders in the Building.
Yeah, I saw season one of that too, and I need to catch up on that as well.
Is that the one with Selena Gomez?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really fun. Yeah. It's just they have an entire episode with zero actual dialogue because it's from the point of view of a deaf character.
That episode was amazing. It's better than it had any right to be for like the rest of the set. Like it was just, this entire series, it's just the stupid, wacky, goofy bullshit. And then they did this episode and I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was this super important piece of television happening in this ridiculous world.
Yeah.
That they had made. It was so cool.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying the prevalence of that. Jenna, was it during your birthday movie marathon? There were two birthday movie marathons pretty close together. It was yours and Ducks.
And Ducks, yeah.
And one of the movies was The Sound of Metal.
That would be Ducks.
It was okay.
Or not mine anyway.
Okay. I think it was Ducks. Then that's right, because it was right after Joe versus the Volcano, also a stellar film. But
very good. It's a brain clout.
Yeah.
so good.
Yeah, The Sound of Metal. If you like the all deaf episode of Only Murderers in the Building, then The Sound of Metal might be a movie that you would really enjoy. It's a it's not really funny really at all. It's kind of emotionally raw. It's not hard to watch like some emotionally raw things are, but shit, it's a strong movie.
I tend to go for much lighter and fluffier currently.
Something I was
going to
say, but if you are looking for more of that, that is lighter and fluffier. And if you have not already watched Marvel's Hawkeye miniseries.
Oh yeah. It's so fun.
Yeah.
Holy
shit.
It's
really good.
I agree
so much.
That kind of thing is super amazing. And I've been loving having more of it. So. Yeah.
So yeah, well, what else have you been up to, Cole?
About 6-1. Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
editing photos. I finished all of my selects for Josh and Mare's wedding photos.
Yay!
I now have to do the actual edit. That's just the process of going through the umpteen thousand things I shot and going, yeah, I'll spend time on this one. Yeah, I'll spend time on this one. Because each one's going to be about 15 minutes to half an hour of editing per picture, and I'm down to 225 pictures to edit. So Jenna does some quick head math and hates being a project manager because she instantly calculated that time
span. I couldn't not
but it'll be there is still winnowing down that happens, and it'll probably end up as like 25-50 pictures that are really nice deliverables.
Super quality. So, yeah.
Yeah. I realized why I don't shoot weddings anymore. The venues are generally very dark, which means you have a lot of motion blur. Yeah. It's not as controlled an environment. But I think, and I was being a very technical person, my initial three or four passes through the pictures were just me being angry at myself for getting crappy shots, because I want super precise, tack sharp,
right?
You know, all of these technical things. And I had to, this last pass through, I went, which one conveys the right emotions? I'll figure out the technical pieces after. And that actually allowed me to get through the entire clump of photos. So that's the way I'm going to be editing them, is less from a standpoint of,
nice,
this will look technically pristine on a mantelpiece, and more of a, this will remind them of the day that they had that was so much fun with their friends. So
that's exactly it. Yeah.
So that was hard. and why I don't shoot weddings anymore.
It's tough, but fair.
Right.
That process for me is, I don't enjoy it as much. And they were aware of this going into it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't shoot weddings anymore. They said, please. And I said, for you guys, yes, but that's it. Never again.
Hey, Cole, will you shoot my wedding? I'm not having one. I'm not having one. I just want you to shoot wedding pictures. Randomly for me.
I'm going to say yes to that because I know somehow you're going to turn that shit around on me.
I just want to wear a dress is really why. I just want to wear a pretty dress. You should pictures of me in a pretty dress.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Anything else cool?
I don't know. No.
With Yaffe.
Yeah.
Are you, will you provide us the link for that? Do you have a site for it that people can go to see your projects?
We have a Facebook. I'll get you the Facebook.
Awesome.
We used to have a website where we detailed all of our learning process as we went, because we started with, we're going to be filmmakers. And after each production, Rue and I would sit down with some beers and we would watch the thing we had made and go, these three things are awesome. These three things suck. How do we fix the three things that suck? And on the next production, we would fix those three things, rinse and repeat. Nice. And so all of those learnings were on a website for a long time. And then we got hacked by Russian kitty porn people. And I turned all that over to the FBI and said, hey, I don't want this.
Right.
And then we got hacked by a phishing scam that redirected all of the traffic that was searching for, I don't know what it was, but they ended up on our site through the thing. But after going through like a banking site asking that looked like a banking site asking for credentials. And so what I had done was I replaced the pages on our site that they had put in with sites that redirected to a version of our site that said, somebody tried phishing your information. I've taken over their site. If you like what we've done, click on the ads on our site. I suddenly got a huge boost of that mad Google money, Google ads money. I was owed $98, but they didn't pay out till 100, and then they stopped the program.
Oh, annoying.
But hey, so, $100.
You know, whatever. There you are.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll provide that link so that they can check out more of your work as a filmmaker, etc.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Yeah. Should we take a break?
Yes, I think we better had.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. Oh, I just missed it. Fuck. If that had gone on the record, you would have been ruined.
I'm already ruined. That one bump that Salsa got, it's damaged my reputation beyond repair.
Yeah. Yeah. People walking around out there thinking that you're a human being.
Shh. Don't tell anyone.
Okay. I won't.
And we're back.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
I'm still Cole.
Hey.
Cole,
Cole, Cole, Cole, Cole,
Cole,
Cole, Cole, Cole.
All right. And since we are back and this is the outro, the outro, I would like to remind people that we expect this to be out on the last day of the month, probably. And that means that you have less than 24 hours time to buy a fucking shirt from the new collection of 3 shirts, which were lovingly sweated over. Ew, that sounds so gross. That were lovingly hand drawn by we, your idiot hosts. I don't know that you will have another opportunity. If you like these shirts, get them while you can.
I understand there's a voting thing, right?
Yes, that's the other part of this. Is that tacos are on the line?
I'm adding a fourth vote in. Remember that if you get them and you do your vote because you saw my Facebook post about it, it's a vote for me.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah, people will have to write in and let us know. They'll have to write us a fast five and put that in the notes.
Absolutely.
And stick it to all 3 of them.
Yeah, well, and that's tough but fair. And then
I will
owe Cole a taco.
Write in votes are a thing. I don't know how to stop this. So,
but in the meantime, I have been told that Jenna is winning.
I said it and it's live, so you can't take it back.
So, it's a fierce competition. Please.
Very fierce.
Yes. I want tacos. Yeah.
I think we all want tacos. That's why we bet that.
It's because it's fucking delicious. All right.
Hey, everybody. It's time for a fast five.
Fast five.
Fast five.
Oh, wow. That was beautiful. Thank you. Today's fast five questions come to us from... Ta-da! Stefan Senpai.
Senpai.
Yay, Stefan. Opening thoughts. Stay tuned to the end of this Fast Five for an important message. Ooh. And apologies to James ahead of time. for when we get to the context.
Oh, no.
Question number one. Ding! Cloth or paper?
Cloth or paper?
Cloth or paper?
I mean, I know cloth when is I am better for the environment, but...
When I am drafting a pattern, I will paper. Do it on cloth. I don't actually do paper patterns.
Oh,
You'll do like a muslin blank and then...
Yep, yeah. That's exactly how I do it.
Oh. I was always taught to do it on paper bags.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, number one, I was never taught. This is all bullshit I made up to do my own sewing stuff. But number two, if it's a pattern that I want, cloth lasts longer. You can still write on it. It's closer to whatever material you're going to use unless you are actively making a dress out of paper. And yeah, it just keeps better. There's less tearing. The patterns that you get with like the light tissuey paper stuff, like,
oh, they suck.
They're damn near disposable.
Yeah.
So yeah, I use cloth.
I was going to say, I know that, the cloth is better for the environment, but I like toilet paper.
That's gross, but fair.
Do you carry a handkerchief with you for that?
I carry a handkerchief with me, but not for that.
I mean, I was about to say, yeah, that's Joe also carries a handkerchief, but not for that.
Yeah.
But also bidets. And I know people that like actually have cloths for their bidets. I still toilet paper for patting down after a bidet. But yeah. I get bamboo toilet paper from like Grove or whatever.
Yeah. Grover? Grover.
Grover whatever. Yes.
Near? Far.
Oh God. Oh God, no.
Yeah.
Ew.
All right, so I'm firmly paper no matter what the topic ends up being.
Okay.
Take that. Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm even going to write it down. Check it out.
Ooh. Paper. I'm not writing mine down. I don't care that much.
I won't remember.
Okay, so two papers and a cloth. Mm-hmm. All right. Question number two. Ding! God damn it.
Oh, all right.
Shift or alarm? Shift or alarm?
Which is more likely to wake you up? Having a downshift or having your alarm go off?
Oh God. No, I don't like that context at all.
Shift.
I don't even care if that is the context. I don't like it. And I'm going to throw it out.
Yeah.
Shift or alarm. So
when you get sticky in that certain way, casually shift, or do you let everybody know that you're adjusting?
Man, that's the best thing I like, the best context accuracy type thing I can think of right now.
Yeah.
I am loud about all of my feelings, so I definitely would be an alarm on that one.
I'm going to be really angry if I'm right.
I'm going to be amused and mildly upset.
I've decided that the correct thing to do when farting, rather than trying to do it quietly and pretend like nothing has happened and just sort of, you know, pop a leg up to, you know, hopefully, you know, muffle it, is to cough loudly about 2 seconds before farting so that, you know,
I think it's dishonest to leave any doubt in the room as to who did it.
Well, I am a girl. Context,
I'm going alarm.
Yeah, yeah.
I am a girl, and as we all know, girls don't fart.
I've heard that.
So yeah, you've heard me fart.
also,
you've heard that. I do like. I don't. Okay, I don't like to be loud with my farts when somebody else is talking. I don't like to interrupt somebody else's story with my farts. I prefer to interrupt people's stories verbally. So I'm going to go shift.
A few times that the podcast mics have picked up a visit to the fart cupboard.
Oh, my God. Again, the fart cupboard. Right. I miss the fart cupboard.
Right. I do. Yeah, I'll bet.
Oh, long live the fart cupboard.
I have to sit next to Salsa.
All right. So we've got two alarms and a shift.
Yep.
All right. So question number.
So glad I told everybody to watch this. To
listen to this. Well, now you've just done it to yourself.
You know.
No, I knew what I was getting into.
Question number three. Ding. Blanket or pajamas? Not PJs, which kind of bugs me, but pajamas.
Fancy.
I know. Do you sleep naked and use a blanket for warmth, or will you sleep in your pajamas and go sans blanket? That's what I think the context is.
Senor, your pajamas.
I am definitely a naked sleeper.
Pajamas.
That's too much fabric.
I stick to myself if I don't. Just like,
you know, PJ?
upper and lower body. That's exactly what Cole was talking about on the last one. It's it's unhappy. So pajamas.
I'm a blanket.
If you forgot to close the garage door. Do you quick put on pajamas, or do you just wrap yourself in a blanket?
Ooh.
Oh, I do. Well, I have a robe. Am I the only person that has a robe for these things? I don't. Is a robe pajamas or a blanket?
Oh, fuck. What have I done?
It's pajamas, and I'll tell you why. The people who invented the Snuggie had to fight a court battle for the type of product that it was in order to avoid clothing tariffs. It had to be a blanket with sleeves.
Huh.
Specifically. So a robe is different and is taxed and tariffed as a garment.
That sounds technically correct.
The best kind.
Which is, of course, the best kind of correct. I would say I actually consider a robe, well, I consider it to be a robe. It's neither. It's both. It's all of the above. It's a jacket. It's a jacket. There, take that, Stefan Senpai, for context that might not actually exist.
For the argument that I've decided to have in my head about you.
Yeah. You fucking jacket.
Like Jenna waking up from a dream and being mad at someone who had a fight with her in that dream.
I did that to Joe once. Here's what happened. I woke up and he had been a dick in my dream. And I was mad. No, like, I'm okay with it if, like, I'm actually awake. Mm-hmm. But, like, don't invade my dream space and be an asshole. Like, that's not okay. No, so I was like, Joe, I'm really mad right now. I know and actualize this is not your fault, and I am not putting this on you. However, I'm still having feelings of anger for what you said to me in my dream.
Yeah.
And he was just like, is there anything I can do? He's like, I don't even know how to. I'm like, it's not you. It's not you. And I don't want you to feel bad. I just need you to know the emotional state I'm in right now. He's like, I'm going to go get some coffee. I'm like, okay.
That's what you can do.
Would you like a coffee?
As much as people joke about that, especially like stand-up comics joke about that shit and like Battle of the Sexes kind of stuff. I have legitimately awakened from a dream in which my father died and had to send him a text message to call me when he could, just so that I could talk to him and feel reassured. And it was like 3:30 in the fucking morning and he called me. And I was like, I know that you're fine. I know that everything's going to be fine. I just, like, it was a lot.
I needed to hear the voice, man.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I get it. Yeah.
Joe has the phrase, emotions are real, but they're not reality.
Yeah. Yep.
Fucking this right here, man. Like, you can't say those emotions shouldn't exist. They do. But, like, it's not the reality of the situation. So.
Yeah. Is it ridiculous? Yes.
Yup.
But also happening. Yeah. All
right. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm going to go blanket. Fuck it.
Pajamas.
Blanket.
All right. Two blankets and pajamas. Question. Come on. Question number 4.
Ding!
Ding!
There it is. Regimented schedule or meh? I think we all know where I'm going to go on this.
Oh, hmm.
Yeah? No? Uncertain? Are you, I'm definitely meh. No, regimented schedule.
I think so, but,
I'm so proud of you right now, James. That was really good.
I should try out for, you know, comedy.
That one show.
Yeah.
I retired. I don't have to be mean anymore. Now I just am for myself. Yeah, I'm regimented schedule. There are very few times and places where I'm meh about anything.
That's fair.
I lean toward meh. However, it's a different kind of meh. It is more of an embrace the chaos. So it's not a meh.
Yeah.
But it's on the meh side of the spectrum.
Okay.
Okay.
I think the context here is, do you have like a bedtime schedule? Or how do you handle your bedtime process?
Whenever I have a bedtime ritual and a get up in the morning and do shit schedule, I always feel better.
Right.
I always have a better time of things. Also being neuro spicy means that maintaining that doesn't always happen. And plus just life, you know, life is upheaval. Sometimes I just have to lean into the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and just say, well, you know, whatever, we're going to put on the sunglasses and let the tide carry us out. Yeah.
All right. Is that two regimented schedules and a meh? Wait, no, two mez and a regimented schedule.
Yeah.
All right. Question number 5. Dang! Ooh, that was lovely. We should have just had you doing it the entire time. Unvaccinated or exposed? I don't like any of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
What? Are exposed.
I'm going to go chicken pox on this.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe? No, yeah, that's still weird.
Well, yeah, no, that is still weird. Like,
I definitely got just all of the vaccinations.
Okay, I have an answer.
Okay.
I have decided on an answer after careful thought and consideration. Shut the hell up.
Yeah.
I got COVID before my vaccines were able to kick in. So I got the full brunt of COVID. So I was exposed while unvaccinated. If the options are between unvaccinated or exposed, the second one implies vaccinated and exposed. And I'm going with that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if the question is...
Because I've heard people who have been vaccinated and have been exposed and are getting ill now, and they're having a much better time of it than I did.
I got it twice. It was one of the first few hundred in Minnesota.
Lucky you.
Yeah. And that was a month of fucking suck.
Yeah.
And then I got it the second time last December. After like very shortly after the booster, probably the booster just hadn't had quite enough time to finish kicking everything out. Yeah. Completely asymptomatic. It was a night and day fucking difference. Like I want the next booster. I'm not old enough for the next booster and I'm angry about this. I want it because if I catch it, I just want to be asymptomatic again. It was lovely. That fucking month of my life. Oh my God.
It sucked.
It was awful.
I'd never missed a day of work because I work from home and I was quarantined downstairs where my office is. What are you going to do? I just logged into work every morning and just did.
I did not work for 2 weeks. Even though I could have worked from home, I was like, no. Nope. I just, like, technically, it was there. I literally could not focus on anything. I couldn't exert myself in any way, shape, or form for more than like 5 minutes before I had to go take a nap.
I was pretty good up until like 1 p.m. and then everything got all fuzzy. Yeah, but I was 100 to 104 all day long for 18 days straight.
Yeah.
It was not so much Carol Burnett on Pluto TV. They have a Carol Burnett channel, and I just watched that the whole time. I just turned it on and zoned in and out of it.
Zoned the fuck out. Yeah. No, that's fair. So I guess, I mean, without the context for unvaccinated or exposed, I'm always going to go exposed because I'd rather be vaccinated.
Yeah. Same.
So exposed.
Exposed.
Exposed all around. All right. And I open up the second portion of this.
Oh, God.
There was no.
Let's see how wrong we were.
And there were no opening notes that I have on this. So hopefully Salsa sent me all of the right stuff. Okay, got that. Okay, there it is. The new thing, this is my first time seeing the new email response things. So, So question number one, cloth or paper? When you had children in diapers, did you use cloth or disposable ones?
Yeah,
I used both. I used disposable ones when I could, but welfare does not cover diapers. So when I couldn't afford them, I used cloth.
We tried the cloth. They were just super, way more expensive, way more expensive than the disposables with the assistance.
Well, and as a single mom, like I was a single mom with an infant, like I didn't have time to do all of the caretaking stuff. If I could at all help it, like a disposable.
And it added to your, all of the, you had to, there's all the stuff that goes with it as well. We did a service thing and that was even more expensive because we didn't have the time to get them all washed and all of that. So,
But I did when I just couldn't afford disposables, I was hand washing these cloth diapers. Sometimes Jessa just had to go hungry for 10 minutes while I finished a thing. Cause I couldn't, it sucked.
So I'm sticking with paper.
Yeah. I would definitely go with the, disposables. If I had the time and support necessary to go cloth or something similar, I would. But parents are already doing like a fuck ton.
They are.
And even with all of that, like I just want more eco-friendly disposable diapers is really where I'm at with this whole situation. I mean, there should be compostables, right?
Yes.
That's not a dangerous idea at all. Sure. Somebody get on that. Question number two, shift or alarm? Oh, James, what did you do for your kids?
Oh, I dropped them off at the pool.
Off or in?
This is a poofemism.
Yeah, we're aware.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had chosen, I think I chose paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'll have to stick with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question number two, shift or alarm? When you had a newborn that needed to be fed and changed every 2 to 3 hours, did you split the night into shifts where you would sleep and another person would watch the baby and then swap? Or did you wait for the child to be hungry and cry to wake you up? Stefan, the idea that there was another person with whom I could do shifts is adorable. No, I just, I got up when Jessa told me it was time to get up and take care of her. I did not. Yep.
Alarm.
Yeah, that's absolutely alarm.
It was kind of the same thing with my nephew. Because for a while there, right after my nephew was born, I was home between college years and, so for the first month or two, since I was home for the summer, I was helping out as much as I could.
And sure.
So yeah, everybody just tried to get as much sleep as they possibly could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how that is. Cole?
Yeah, it was definitely alarm.
Yeah. It was just, All right, question number three, blanket or pajamas? When you had newborn, I'm beginning to see why Stefan apologized to James right away.
It's a good thing he knew I was going to be the special guest and knew that I had kids.
Right, exactly. When you had newborn, did they take to swaddling in a blanket or did you have to put them in pajamas to sleep? Neither. I tried swaddling and Jessa would not take it. And because she was born in the middle of summer, she got too hot if we had pajamas on. So She slept in a diaper. I tried, man.
Newborn, we did blankets, and I got really good at swaddling. Like I can do that wrap, and they can, you could bounce them off the floor just about. We didn't.
It happened a few times.
We didn't.
Whoops.
But you could.
I actually absolute newborn, like in the hospital, nurse goes to swaddle Jessa 10 minutes later. And like, this is a pro, right? Like this is what she does.
Mm-hmm.
10 minutes later, Jessa already has an arm out. She's just like, no,
that seems right.
Fuck this bullshit.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I felt a little bit bad that I was apparently doing fine swaddling. Jessa just did not want it.
She was like, how dare you keep me from going to my day job?
Right.
As a 40-year-old woman.
As a 40-year-old woman, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Question number 4. Regimented schedule or meh? When you had a newborn, did you feed them on a strict schedule, like every 3 hours? Or did you let them sleep until they got too hungry and woke themselves up? My daughter was born with a heart defect, which meant her heart was working harder to pump blood, which meant she was hungry all the time. She would feed for an hour at a time. And then half an hour to 45 minutes later, she would feed for another goddamn hour. I was a cow. I was just there to provide. It was. On the plus side, she did sleep pretty well through, like, not through the night, but like, yeah, she would sleep for 6 hours, which was lovely. But yeah, if she wasn't sleeping, I was feeding her is basically what it came down to for the first, for like the first month. So I guess I have to go meh, but,
weird.
Extenuating circumstances on that one.
Yeah.
I only go meh for my daughter.
Oh.
Yeah, recall that we were still meh, but that was a long time ago.
I was about to say, like, we're also older, and you're older still.
I don't act like it.
That's very true. My nephew would, it was kind of like, if he's hungry, you know, try to feed him. But if he's not, there is an amount of time that we will let him chill out, like a maximum amount of time that we'll let him sleep, because otherwise when he does get up, he's just gonna be fucking inconsolable. And he's he would kind of fight the bottle if he had slept too long.
Okay.
Because he was just, like his body was telling him that he was unhappy and he didn't know how to.
He was too hungry to eat.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if after a couple of times like that, we all just started feeding him after a maximum amount of time. If he wasn't already awake.
Okay, sure. So a little bit of both, which is probably the best way to go about it.
Kind of scheduled.
That's crazy.
Fuck, that's weird. I'm scared too.
I don't like it. Well, the day that Jenna went meh and James went schedule.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Do not like. All right, question number 5. Unvaccinated or exposed. When you had newborn, were you as risk adverse about them getting exposed to any illness as you had been about being exposed to COVID-19?
No.
Wait.
That's not an either-or question.
One more time.
When you had newborn, were you as risk-averse about them getting exposed to any illness as you have been about being exposed to COVID-19?
Okay.
So that's a yes or no. I guess the... Yeah, I'm not sure I understand this one.
So
we were able to be much more carefree with our kids' health back then.
Right. Actually, well, because I've talked about this on the podcast several times, because I got hepatitis B from a blood transfusion, because I am that old. When Jessa was born, like, that was my very first thing. I was like, you stick a needle in her now. I was like, she needs to be vaccinated right away. She needs to be vaccinated right away. Like, just everything. And yeah, due to that situation, I mean, she got every vaccine when it came out. Even like her father was like, well, she doesn't need the chicken pox vaccine. I'm like, it exists. She's getting it. So yeah, like the hepatitis B thing again is kind of its own circumstance, but I wasn't freaked out about the idea of her getting chicken pox. I just figured it'd be better if she didn't. It was like, if we have the technology.
Yeah, our kids got all the stuff, but then, you know, you shove them outside with the other kids to drool on each other.
Right. Yeah, like you do.
Piss whatever.
So, yeah.
Kids are slobbery.
Mm-hmm. They are. And they put things in their mouths.
Little petri dishes with legs.
All the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Any other thoughts on that before I get into the closing thoughts from Stefan?
Yeah, super quick. Nephew's parents got him vaccinated immediately for absolutely everything except for a year and a half ago or something like that. He was dating someone who was anti-vax and well, you know, here's all this misinformation that I have and totally believe about modern vaccinations for COVID. And I just calmly texted back and forth with him and said, like, here are the sources that I have. Feel free to supply me with any of yours.
Sure.
Right. And at some point he was like, I know that this is important to you. You've provided me a lot of sources. I can't talk about this anymore right now because I'm getting the feeling that I'm starting to want to say no just because we've been talking about it for so long. Which I felt was a really
great. That's actually thing. Pretty mature. Yeah.
Yeah. And lo and behold, he, after he got into a different relationship, he went and got vaccinated.
Yeah.
So, I would, especially because of all of the people in my family that he's in contact with, including his 70-year-old grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Vaccination. And yeah, rather than exposure.
Yeah. I'm just, yeah.
Yep.
So closing thoughts. Do you see a pattern? Guess what, friends? I'm a dad now. Woo! Yay!
Yay!
Or I will be a dad in about 3 months when the legal paperwork is finalized. Yes, Mrs. Senpai and I are in the process of adopting a baby. We just brought him home from the hospital, so we're in the, well, not quite limbo, but we're in the period where he's not legally ours yet, but we have all of the rights afforded to parents to make decisions about his well-being, and all the late night feeding and changing him. I think I'll call him my little Kohai.
Kohai. Yeah.
Kohai.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where Senpai is the senior, Kohai is the junior. So cute.
Okay. I think I'll call him my little Kohai when I talk about him on the Discord, much like Mud has referred to his kid as Mud Puddle all these years. Anyway, that's the big news on our end. We're ecstatic, but we'll see how long that lasts before we lose our minds to sleep deprivation.
It's okay. The sleep deprivation covers up everything else you would otherwise feel.
Including some of the, you really learn your zen once you hit a zen. I call it the fuck it, where you just kind of get this place of acceptance and just like, well, this is what it is, so fuck it.
Let's go bowling.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Stefan, for the lovely Fast Five, and congratulations. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Auntie Jenna wants to come hang out and see babies. I'm getting no grandchildren, so I'm just adopting everybody else's children and becoming their auntie. So
I've seen a picture. This is a real cute baby.
I hope so. That would be really awkward if it wasn't.
I mean, babies are cute. Right.
Right.
But
this one is super baby cute.
Yeah, adorable as a chemical element. Right.
What?
Adorable on the periodic table, 100% adorable.
Okay. I still don't understand. I'm just gonna go.
Have you been struck in the head recently, James?
Wow.
Many times. You were there.
You may have done some of that. Anyway, if you would like to send in a Fast Five, you can go to our website. Go to aonpodcast.com. We have a link. I believe it says Fast Five. It is to a form where you can submit a Fast Five. We do not want your emails for Fast Fives. We'll take them, but we make no promises. I don't know how many Fast Fives we have left in the hopper. So you should just plan on sending one this week anyway, unless you're Gray, who is apparently trying to get me to write one at some point. So, Gray refuses to submit one until I have to write another Fast Five. Join the Discord server for that kind of back and forth bullshittery. Which also you can find a link to our Discord on our website. So maybe you should do that too. Did I miss a thing?
Yes. Shout outs.
I meant for the Fast Fives.
Oh.
I think I got it all.
Yeah.
All right. Does anybody have a shout out?
I do. The O'Brien's Public House wait staff and everybody else involved. Great, great work. That was a fantastic meal. It was exactly what we needed after an absolutely disgusting day outside. Just ice cold drinks, hot food.
Yeah.
Air conditioning. Fuck.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to give my shout out to air conditioning. I'm pretty sure I've done this in the past, but after this last weekend, I feel like I've gained a whole new level of respect for air conditioning. it's pretty fucking glorious, y'all. We're kind of spoiled, so appreciate the hell out of that. Shout out to air conditioning.
I am going to give a shout out to the unsung heroes of the Renaissance Festival, the Garbage Pixies.
Absolutely.
It seemed as though on Saturday they were short on staff. So even with a limited crowd that was there, those were piling up fast, and it really made me appreciate when there are enough of the folks doing that as fundraisers for whatever events mm-hmm. or groups that they happen to be affiliated with. When you see it not happen, you appreciate it when it does happen even more. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I appreciate them for the simple fact that I don't want to do it.
Nope. Although I did it first weekend at the front of our booth. I went and did a quick pass and went, people are grody.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I want to get another bin closer to us. I'm wondering if there's a way we can do that.
Oh yeah. Just grab one.
Well, I mean, yeah, but where exactly, like directly across from Cashbox, maybe? I don't know.
Find one of the ones that doesn't have a bag in it yet and just move it over by us. We'll never know.
Yeah. I was thinking more location, but
we could just shift the booth a couple of feet to one side so it's closer.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, no, I like that. That's a solid plan.
Sweet. We've done that with another booth once.
Does anybody have any plugs?
Allegedly. I will just start with, no, I don't. Come see us at Fencing Booth.
Yeah, Fencing Booth. James, you got any?
I'm going to say t-shirts. Go to the site.
T-shirts.
T-shirts.
Do it.
Hotly contested.
Yeah. I get it, because it's a contest. Okay. And as a reminder, you can get to that also on aonpodcast.com. We have a link for that as well. So yeah, I have a plug. This Thursday at 7:30 p.m., doors are at 7.
Perfect.
Oh,
that happened.
Well,
oh, no, it's gone.
7 something p.m. Strike Theater. come see Jenna at the show. Oh God,
what do we do?
she'll be back.
She's gone. James, did you kill her? What did you do?
Oh my God. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it was. I have a shout out. Stir.
Oh, son of a bitch. This is one of the reasons why I don't like recording online. Like, I can only record on my laptop, and sometimes my laptop is like, we're just going to reboot whatever application you're on. Fuck you. Anyway, okay. I do have a shout out, though. Laptop behave. This Thursday at 7:30 p.m., mm-hmm. Doors at 7, the Strike Grand Story Slam Championship. The tickets are $15. Don't miss the rowdiest storytelling show in Minneapolis. See the Grand Slam Champion be crowned. This is the big one, the 2022 Grand Slam Story Championship. We will bring back the winners from the past season to compete against each other. The theme of the night is passion. I'm going to list off the qualified storytellers because maybe you know of one that we haven't talked about before. Qualified storytellers are Dana Bertoli. Oh God, this isn't going to be fast at all. Okay. Dana Bertoli, Maddie Gibba, Vicky Joan Keck, Levi Weinhagen, Dana Sheridan, Lauren Nimi, Patrick DuPaul, Mahmoud Hakima, Sue Searing, Wendy Zoli, Anne Rie, Chad Kipper, Ada Walton, Ariel Pinkerton, Marie Cooney, Wendy Johnson, and Jenna Young. You could be selected to be one of the 5 judges for the Story Slam if you're in the audience. So come get that possibility. Open all ages, but we do not censor content. And again, the topic is passion. So yeah. Strike Theater masking. All patrons, performers, and staff will have to show proof of vaccination, either card, digital, or app, to enter shows. Masks are required in public spaces, which is all of it. So yeah, that is what's happening this Thursday at 7:30 PM at Strike Theater. I will share that link one more time. And then you'll not hear from me for a while on this until the next story slam comes up. And yep, I'm nervous. So I would love to have support there. Did we get every, we got the shout outs. We got the plugs. Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts?
Bye bye. I love you. Bye bye bye.
Go ahead, Cole.
I was just going to say, make an effort to leave everything better than you found it.
Mm. I like that. That's a good one. All right. I would like to thank Stefan Senpai for the Fast Five.
Senpai?
We would like to thank Cole for being our very special last-minute guest.
Cole, 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 Cole.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Cole, Cole. On behalf of myself, James, Salsa, may he rest in peace, and Cole, eat the fucking cake. Take it away, Salsa.
Cha. Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.